Welcome back to episode 23 of the Guardian Project podcast. I am your host, Andy Flory, and I have a question for you.
Okay.
Now that Oko is banned in standard, am I still an elk?
You're still an elk.
Damn it.
And I'm your co-host, Mike Coyle. Hey, Andy, what do you call a person who drinks pumpkin spice lattes, wears North Face and Uggs in the wintertime?
Andy?
Snow-covered basics.
I can relate, but I don't have Uggs.
Please listen carefully.
That's true.
But I pumpkin spice lattes. I drink peppermint mochas all year round, but
all year round.
Literally all year. It'll be like June. Everybody goes to Starbucks. I'd like something really crisp and cold. And I'm like, can I just get a peppermint mocha? Extra whipped cream, please. Thank you. This is a podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
But mostly Commander.
What do we have on the agenda today?
Today we are gonna start off with the B&R announcement that happened.
There was lots of stuff on this one.
We are going to talk about a question that was posed online about someone who is having an issue with a particular playgroup.
Okay.
We're going to do a new reoccurring segment, Commander of the Week.
Okay.
And then we're going to finish up with a little fun game of Would You Rather.
This is your first Would You Rather.
This is my first Would You Rather.
Are you looking forward to it like the previous one of no sleeves versus sleeves getting spilled?
Yeah, I'm dreading it completely.
Let's start with the first one, our first item here, which is the banned and restricted announcement. Actually, today we are recording early on Monday, and the Pioneer announcement is still not out yet. We will check throughout the recording sesh, but we don't know what may or may not have been banned in that format at this time.
Right.
So that's why we're not mentioning it if Oko does get banned there as well. Well, I wish we could go back in time.
Yeah.
Or forward and then back in time.
Forward then back.
We need to go...
Time travel forward.
Do we
get
go
the
back
info.
To the future? No.
We're going...
We need to go back to the past.
We're going back to the present.
Back to the present?
We want to go back to the present.
So in standard, we have three bannings.
Three?
Oko, Thief of Crowns, Once Upon a Time, and Veil of Summer.
I believe that's a green card, and green card.
You can argue green blue.
I mean, it is. It's a good argument.
Yeah. Would you say green's pretty good right now?
Green.
Right now? Probably not.
Oko is broco or just green?
I am sad that these are banned because now what is there to... What are you hoping to open in a pack of Throne of Eldraine now?
Not much. I mean, maybe the Great Henge.
Oh, that is a good card.
It is good, but it's green.
You're hoping
green
to get
is
the,
less supported now.
You're hoping, yeah, but that's better in green black, I think. But yeah. If you open like a foil extended, someone had tweeted today that they opened a extended altar, the alternate artwork of an Oko that had partially removed the foil promo.
Mm-hmm.
One of the folks from MTG Fast Finance, and they were like, "Of course, I opened this today."
That's sad.
Oko's banned. Some of the reasoning was 70% of the decks at Mythic Championship Richmond included that card.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the data from a high-ranked arena traditional best of three play, only one of the other 10 most played decks, which is Simic Flash, the deck you play, had a favorable matchup against Simic food-based decks, and it was only just above 50%. And that food decks maintained an average of 53% win rate in non-mirror matches. So,
but now my Simic Flash deck did run four copies of Once Upon a Time.
It did lose that. Yeah. So your mana fixing and keeping one land hands is no longer as easy.
That is correct.
They also said that Thief of Crowns or Oko Thief of Crowns has reduced the metagame diversity and the diversity of gameplay in standard by shutting off build around creatures and artifacts. And Oko's power level has grown higher than is healthy for the current metagame and for future environments, including, and they even referenced Theros Beyond Death and Forward.
Yeah.
So they had to make this decision. They said to address Green's general dominance, they also chose to remove Once Upon a Time and Veil of Summer from the environment. Once Upon a Time is one of the key reasons Green has been overrepresented and contributes to a high consistency of strong starts.
Totally agree.
And color fixing.
Yeah, I agree.
In a format where there is no real fixing.
Despite the fact that you can play Once Upon a Time in any color deck and cast it for free if it's your first spell of the game.
That is true, which sometimes I do on turn two.
Yeah.
Never. I would say never play a Once Upon a Time on someone else's first turn at the end of their turn, but you can't anymore because it's now banned.
It banned.
I guess you could still do that in Modern, but don't do that in Modern. Do it on your own turn. Don't give them any info.
That's right. This is one card that is suspected for the Pioneer banning if that ends up happening. More so than Oko from some of the talk that I've heard online. Oko seems to be kind of a nombo, if you will, against some of the hardened scales decks that like to put +1/+1 counters on all the creatures. Like, okay, make my 1/1 with 4+1/+1 counters into a 3/3 with 4+1/+1 counters. That's fine. Go ahead.
Yep.
So I would suspect Once Upon a Time might be seeing the banhammer from the Pioneer, but Oko will probably survive.
Sure. And then finally, Veil of Summer. It said that it is playing an important role in preventing the metagame from being able to self-correct, and that cards that did something like this in the past, like Autumn's Veil or Display of Dominance, Autumn's Veil is most commonly, I would say, most closely related to Veil of Summer. It's just way better because Autumn's Veil said spells you control can't be countered by blue or black spells this turn, and creatures you control can't be the targets of. But Veil of Summer then on top of that gives you hexproof from those and lets you draw a card.
Yeah. It's just an all-around better card.
So that's Standard. But Oko wasn't only banned in Standard.
Well, he was banned on Arena in Brawl, and Wizards decided that they were going to up that and just ban it in Paper too.
Yep, no more Paper Brawl.
No more Paper Oko. And it's
no
not,
more Paper Oko Brawl.
No more Paper Oko Brawl. Which
Paper Oko Brawl.
Paper, which, you know, he's really good in Standard, and he's really good as a you can always cast him, he's always in your starting hand, quote unquote, for Brawl in Standard. So that
if he's your commander.
I mean, he's banned in the format completely.
Sure.
Not just if he's like it's not legal if he's in your 59.
Oko also one time turned a Black Lotus into a 3/3 elk, and that won in a Vintage tournament. So yeah,
the elk won. Yes.
The Black Lotus, I wonder if that, I'm assuming, first time ever in Black Lotus's history that it swung for the win.
Yeah, probably. There's probably not a Tezzeret that turned it into a 5/5 before. This is probably the first instance.
Aside from Standard, we also have a banning of Renin 6 in Legacy.
Yep.
And then we have Narset Parter of Veils banned in Vintage. It said Narset Parter of Veils contributing to one-sided games at a higher degree than is healthy. And then Renin 6 was especially powerful in Legacy because of its interaction with Wasteland.
Yeah.
And it said, and the historic prevalence of the metagame defining one toughness creatures like Mother of Runes, Thalia, Garden of Thraven, and Young Pyromancer prior to the addition of Renin 6 to Team or Delver decks, the Legacy metagame was generally looking healthier, so they needed to ban that in Legacy.
Yep. Makes sense. I'm wondering if, I doubt it, if they'd ever see the same thing in Modern, because at least one of those arguments with the one toughness creatures, you could make that same argument in Modern. I mean, you do still have cards like Tarmogoyf and stuff that aren't going to get hit by it as easily, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, that -1 to deal 1 damage to any target, I think, is less commonly used in Modern, I would assume. But I haven't watched Renin 6 in the Jun deck too much. And whether or not it's... I mean, it's not returning Wasteland, that's for sure.
That's for sure. It's not doing that.
It cannot do that in
it
Modern.
It can't.
So, I did not have an Oko anymore. I had actually traded out of that.
That's good.
But I do have my Foil Narset and Foil Veil of Summer, which I'm honestly not worried about because they're both in a deck.
Yeah,
I play them both in Commander. I think Narset Parter of Veils is, it's not fun in Commander, but it does its job.
It does it. It.
And the Veil of Summer also does a lot of work in Commander when you're playing and you don't want something countered.
I played in my Gitrog deck, and I play Autumn's Veil in my Gitrog deck.
I played in Mjolnir Vig.
It's really
Simic
good.
Visionary. I would like to cast this one elf, and when you say nope, I say yep.
Yep.
But if you say nope again, well then, I guess
you're
going
to have to try to say no.
I'm going to have to try and say yep again with another counter spell.
I still own one copy of Once Upon a Time. I haven't slotted it in anywhere, but I don't have an Oko.
I have like 6 Once Upon a Times.
I mean, they're good cards.
Yeah.
You can use them in pretty much any format.
Not Standard.
Except Standard. Maybe not Pioneer soon. We'll find out.
It does only cost Does it cost two?
Yeah, one and a green.
Yeah, it costs two, so it's still not bad.
No, and you know, people are using it in Modern for mono green Tron to fetch for a creature or land.
I'm fine using cards like that in Commander, though.
Yeah.
I don't mind digging five deep, four deep.
It's like almost like a Satyr Wayfinder, but you can grab a creature too. It doesn't have a body like Satyr. It doesn't go to graveyard. So in a lot of ways, it's completely different from Satyr Wayfinder. And in one way, it's like Satyr Wayfinder.
Well, it does go to graveyard.
It goes to graveyard.
The rest of them go to the bottom of your library right. In a random order.
Correct.
But it is looking at the top five and grabbing a creature or a land. So, and sometimes that is enough.
Oh, yeah.
So, let's move on to our question that was posed online.
Yes.
There was a question about someone who was having an issue with their playgroup because they play lots of mass removal. So we did talk about the top colors or the top cards played in each color, including mm-hmm. colorless last week. And we saw in multicolor, there was mostly removal.
Tons of
and
it.
Some mass removal.
Mm-hmm.
And the question online was, what commanders can I build and play with that are resilient to mass removal without relying too much on protection spells? So we both came up with our own notes.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you go ahead and start?
So I think it's important to note that even if you want to play a certain type of meta in your play group and everyone else is playing mass removal, you can, just to start out, you can ask them to maybe cool it down on the mass removal so you can play your token deck.
Or just play a different deck for the night.
Yeah.
Most people have more than one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just so you can do what you want for a game and then you can go back to everything
else. It's definitely a self-policing format with your friends.
With your friends. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to a tournament, you have to be prepared for this kind of stuff. So you have to bring out some of your equipments. Maybe if you're playing a Voltron deck that makes your commander indestructible, like Darksteel Plate. You know, it might seem like a really big mana sink, but it'll protect you. And if your deck revolves around your commander surviving, you need to do everything you can do to make your commander survive.
Yeah.
It can't just be combo. It can't just be power up. I have that problem a lot of times. I just want to put every combo card in my deck. But, you know, sometimes Shirei Shizo's caretaker needs Lightning Greaves so that it doesn't get target removal.
And then you remove the Lightning Greaves and then you kill Shirei.
Don't do that to me.
That's the best way to combat Shirei is make it cost 9 or 11.
But now the best way to combat mass removal, target removal, is to counter the spell.
That was actually my last option.
Okay.
I put it on there. It is a good way to do it, mm-hmm. but then you're stuck in specific colors. What if you don't want to play blue?
There's a black counterspell.
One.
There's a white counterspell.
Well, that one's not full counter. That's just unless they pay more.
That's true.
Mana tithe.
Mana tithe.
No. So I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I put it on there as a nod. And as you can see here, I'll show you. I have a big smiley face next to the no
counter. Of course you do.
Counter spell because, you know, classic me. Mm-hmm. I'm the worst. Mm-hmm. No, I think I went a different route when I first started thinking about it. And I said, well, commanders that are indestructible themselves are inherently stronger against mass removal. Obviously, as long as it's not exile.
Right.
So the ones that pop into my head, like first is the God Cycle from the Theros block.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them is indestructible.
Yeah.
So you have to exile that. And they're also not creatures mm-hmm. until they have the certain devotion
mm-hmm.
and even at that point, they're still an indestructible enchantment, which good luck removing that.
Yeah. Unless someone pulls out their Merciless Eviction. It's the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
Correct. It's the only one I can think of off the top of my head as well. And those are really, really difficult commanders to deal with. Because mm-hmm. then when they're a creature, they're still indestructible.
Yep.
You can't even path to exile that. Mm-mm. And a lot of people play those commanders with the intention of keeping them as an enchantment.
Yeah.
So they don't play a ton of pips, the little colored circles mm-hmm. on their cards to turn them. In some cases, you definitely want to turn them on.
Yeah.
But in many cases, like the Purphoros, like the mono red Purphoros,
you want to keep that not
a creature. You want to keep that not a creature
yeah.
by making a bunch of tokens.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's the way that I've seen it.
No,
and I've seen it work really well.
How many target spells that says exile target enchantment can you think of?
I can't think of I actually can't think of any. I can think of cards like Chaos Warp to shuffle a permanent in.
Yeah.
They don't have Hexproof, so right. There's that.
Right.
But that was just, that's the first way that mm-hmm. I went with this. Well, if you're going to try to play and there's just a ton of mass removal, well, who cares? Mm-hmm. For you then, sure. If you're playing one of these.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 15 gods that allow you to do that because there's the 5 monocolor and then there's 10 two-color. They all have indestructible. And then there's also, from Amonkhet, there's the gods that when they die, they go to your graveyard, then you stick them back in your hand and they don't actually cost extra. So you've got the Scorpion God, the Scarab God, and the Locust God.
Yep.
Those were, and then even the new ones that go 3 deep on top of your library and when they die.
And that's die or become exiled.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's, that dodges it completely.
I think all the gods mm-hmm. are really good in this to answer this question.
Yeah.
That was where I went first.
No, that's good. And you know, you are limited a little bit on your color combinations, but those mm-hmm. decks are good.
Well, you have all 10. I mean, you can't, you're not playing like a 3 color deck, sure.
Right.
In some cases a 1, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah. There. I mean, the decks are fantastic. I mean, don't sleep on Locust God. That's for sure.
It's real good.
Yeah, it's real good.
Get those little hasty bugs.
Hasty 1/1s.
Hasty 1/1s.
Don't forget your Rakdos charm, everybody.
Yep. Don't get got like I got. the next one that I have is alternate win cons. Playing with cards like Approach of the Second Sun
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and the like. If they have mass removal, I mean, there's some cards that you're just going to, you know, lose with. But like Felidar Sovereign is pretty cool. Yeah. You win the game. It's a life gain strategy. Approach of the Second Sun is good. In some cases, cards that just say, if you meet X criteria, you win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could play some more of those. We are huge proponents of have a backup plan.
Always.
Because the number of times my number one plan has gone south. Like we recently played, I just built Lazav the Multifarious, and I had someone play Anafenz of the Foremost. Well, whenever a creature would go to the graveyard from anywhere, whether it's from the battlefield or your hand, mm-hmm. you exile it instead. Well, he needs creatures in the graveyard, otherwise you just lose. So that game, I actually did just lose because I did not have a backup plan. So I need to figure out the backup plan.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately,
one of the comments that this user did have is the group also doesn't like consistent combo wins.
Sure.
And will only tolerate them if it's done to end the game after a lock. So, yes, if they're board wipe, and you go, okay, fine, I'm going to Saheeli Wraith Felidar Sovereign, Felidar Guardian, and win. I mean, if we're going to board wipe 12 times.
Then you have to go for it.
You have to go for it.
Let's just play a new game then. I also think commanders that aren't always cast are really good here. Commanders with eminence or commanders that do play good stuff decks. I don't really play those decks.
Mm-hmm.
I have an Edgar Markov deck that I just upgraded from the pre-con. That's a really good deck. You never play him. And when you play one creature, you get two creatures.
Yeah.
Aloro, Ageless Ascetic.
Oh, I love
you just
Aloro.
Gain life. And you almost never cast it. So there's those, and you're playing in 3 colors there. You can just play, or you could play into, I guess the next thing is playing into board wipes by playing commanders like you play.
So mono black sacrifice. So that type of deck also can get around your board wipe exile problem. You put out a sac outlet, someone casts Merciless Eviction on creatures. You go, okay, in response, I'll sac all my creatures. And they go to the graveyard and they don't get exiled now.
Correct.
So, yeah, that's definitely a way to get around that and my preferred way to play.
And Reanimator, you know, that mm-hmm. that's fine too. Because if the creatures are just constantly dying, which it sounded like it was more of like a Damnation, Wrath of God, Blasphemous Act type deal.
Yes.
In this situation, it was less of Merciless Eviction. But I think you and I see Merciless Eviction way more. Then I think we see the exile one just so often.
Yeah. And it's don't get me wrong. It's a really good
card. I think the best one is the Bast one.
The Bast one
is Blasphemous Act. In my opinion. One mana.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it costs like 3. I'm cool paying 3, but if I had to pay more than 3, people play out some more creatures. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can't kill my 14/14 with it though.
True.
I don't know what card I'm talking about in particular right now, but
but in those cases is when you just swing and then they go block. Yeah. Like, cool. I can deal 13 now and it just dies. And they go, boom. Man, I wish I had block now.
I could have just taken that 2 damage.
Yeah, I could have taken that 2 or that 1. And then my last note on here was counterspells, big smiley face.
Oh, big smiley face.
And in the thread, someone had said, play Mono Blue Brawl. I mean, it's a deck you can play.
Don't do that.
But someone else said under that, play Talrand. You can play the same counterspells, but then you can win with the drakes that you made.
Right.
Instead of just dirtling. Because Brawl is not fun for anyone.
No.
Even the person playing it is miserable.
Probably. Although I do know some people out there that just love to play control, and I'm not pointing fingers right now, I promise.
He's not even smirking at me. I'm
just saying, no, like there are people at our local game stores that we play with that they really love just controlling. They just like, this is my type of game. I want to play a 3-hour game and
that's fine.
Stuff.
That's fine. A lot of people do.
Yeah. You like it. I don't. I'm going to try to combo kill you.
Sure. Yep. That's not for everyone. Get in and get out and play like 3 games before you're done with Commander for the day. Not one.
I'm fine with playing a long game if there's like swings and stuff and backs and forth, but I don't like playing a long game where no one gets to do anything.
Backs and forth.
Backs and forths.
Those were the notes that I wrote down. That's what I would tell this person. Yeah. I would say you've got lots of options here.
Yep.
Obviously, budget is a thing. Some of these gods are more expensive than others.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were just reprinted. The mono red Purphoros and Athreos, God of the Dead, were both just reprinted. So
and whether or not those mystery boosters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whether or not that price actually goes down at all because of that, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll find out.
But
I mean, there's also another Theros block coming out here soon. We might see more of these indestructible gods, maybe different versions, maybe the same cards as reprints.
I don't think they're going to be reprints. I think they're going to be new ones, which I'm fine with.
I agree.
I'd rather see, I'm sad it's only one because I want to see all 10 again. Yeah. And I don't want to see the monocolored ones. I don't mind the monocolored ones. I'd rather see, I just like playing with 2-color cards more than I do monocolored cards. That's just me.
Do you think there'll be a 3-color god somewhere? Like some... They're gonna just shake things up and be like, now we have a 3-color guy.
Look at me, I added a color.
I mean, that would be...
They're in the underworld. Could they just make Athreos and add, like, blue to it for Esper Athreos?
Blue Threos?
Okay, you heard it here. Blue Threos. If that comes out and there's an Esper Athreos,
yep.
We're gonna have a party that next episode
after
Blue Threos is revealed.
Regardless of what the creature does, will be my new Esper commander.
Yeah,
I mean, it's right now it's a Loro. It's just artifacts. Like it's just
well, and
good
it
stuff.
It was send triplets, but he didn't play the commander.
Every time send triplets came out, it was removed from the board. Every single time.
No one wants you to see their hand.
And in the first 2 games I played where I did not play send triplets, I won. So I said, why am I playing send triplets and not a Loro where I can just gain life? So that's what I do now. But Blue Threos is going to be
it will be that one,
Esper
whatever
commander.
It is, and maybe it'll cost white, blue, black. Period.
Yeah. And
just
and
cost 3.
It'll be a 14/14.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think...
Trample, haste, vigilance, indestructible.
I think if they make it 3 colors, it'll still stay... Well, no, it might move up like the rest of them.
Yeah.
The 2-colored ones were all...
4 or 5 mana, I think. Total?
I think some were more. Wasn't one of them like 7? No.
No.
Why do I think Arois is more? Maybe it's because that's his, like his power. Isn't it like a 7/5?
He gives all your stuff menace.
And they can't be dealt damage, right? During
combat. Damage, yeah.
Right. So they just, they're like, oh, I swing and...
Yeah.
It's like Dolmen Gate on a creature.
Yeah.
With menace.
And there's Xenagos too, which is just, he's a big beefy boy. Makes your big beefy boys even more big beefy.
Yep. That's how we won at Command Fest.
Well, we beat a Xenagos.
Or you're right. We beat it. We won through because
we turned Xenagos off. We
turned
him off.
There's
an example of a god you want turned on. Xenagos, sometimes. Because he can just double himself and swing.
Xenagos, yeah, you do want turned on. Mm-hmm. Are there any other gods that you do want turned on?
I can't think of any that you would want to actually be turned on. Everyone else, their passives are just really good. I mean, maybe Iroas, just because...
For swinging?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, because he can't get... I mean, they're all indestructible.
I think, like, the Afara and Karametra, the ones that ramp or blink and help you draw cards, mm-hmm. you both want those... You always want those turned off.
Yeah, you want them to be enchantments.
Correct.
All the time.
All the time. When they're a creature, it's cool to block. Mm-hmm. If you're playing Afara, you've got a better shot of keeping her there because mm-hmm. you're playing blue.
Yep.
But Afara can ramp pretty well, but she does cost like 5.
Yeah.
So she's expensive. I think she costs 5.
Yeah, but, I think that's right.
Do you have any other suggestions for this person?
I honestly would just say talk to your play group. Just have a night where you play something different. I think that would be my number one suggestion. Other than that, you know, some of the stuff we talked about today. If you have to build your deck around your playgroup, you have to build your deck around your playgroup. You know, people play graveyard hate because I play graveyard decks.
Bojuka Bog gets added to any deck that I have that plays black.
Yep. It's got to happen.
Coil's like, it's turn 4 and I have 17 cards in the graveyard. Do I win? No, not today.
You know, I've played against your Lazav deck 5 times. And every single time, you have Buried Alive either in your starting hand or you draw into it by turn 3.
Yeah, this past week, we played at Commander, and he did have a spell to reanimate the creature that was going to basically kill him and my one other opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the timely counter spell
yep.
that I got to use because I played a stupid Mox Amber. And I had the one extra mana.
Yep.
It worked.
It did work.
So
I wasn't about to win next turn, but 2 turns from then probably.
Sure, but you needed that counter spell.
I needed to get that creature out.
Our next item, which is new for us, is Commander of the Week.
Yes, I'm really excited.
So this is going to be a segment where we take a commander deck and we break it down by its contents. Mm-hmm. Not too in-depth, just to kind of talk about it.
Yep.
So we're going to start actually with a deck that you all helped us vote on.
Yes, thank you so much for all of your suggestions. I put a poll out on Twitter asking for what my next commander deck should be. And an overwhelming majority decided that they wanted me to build Morophon Urything Tribal. So what this deck aims to do is play... So Morophon, when he enters the battlefield, you choose a creature type. And creatures of the chosen type cost Wooburg less to cast. So I aimed to play a deck with a bunch of blink spells so that I could blink Morophon, have him come in as different creature types, and to play just valuable cards. Cards with that cost Wooburg or cost Wooburg minus one color. So I could just basically free cast them. There wasn't any particular aim other than these cards in and of themselves are good. All the 4-color commanders that they printed back in 2016, I want to say.
16?
Was it 16 that they printed like... Kianis and Tiro.
Kanaeus and Tiro.
Kanaeus and Tiro.
Atraxa.
Atraxa. I should just pull out my deck list real quick because that would make it a little bit easier.
Kanaeus and Tiro was from Commander 2016.
Yeah. So all the 16 commanders are, you know, good in itself and they're 4-color. So I get to cast them for free. I get to cast
Maelstrom Archangel. Assuming he's set on whatever creature type that is.
That's correct.
Which you have ways to do it. So I did play against this deck, and it was probably the best the deck performed.
We
had to all work together, but we did it in the end.
So Xur the Enchanter is a card that you maybe wouldn't see in here. You would think, oh, even if he calls out wizards, it costs 1 mana to get Xur out. That seems good, but he's probably spending 2 or 3 mana for the blink spell. So what's the point? And there's these 3-mana enchantments that are just absolutely insane in this deck. One of them is just really good in any Morophon creature deck called Descendant's Path. So Descendant's Path's a 2 and a green enchantment. It says at the beginning of your upkeep, reveal the top card of your library. If it's a creature card that shares a creature type with a creature you control, which Morophon is every single creature type, you may cast that card without paying its mana cost. Otherwise, put that card on the bottom of your library. There are instances where this makes it so you miss your land drop. That does happen. But there's also instances where you get like a free Eldrazi. I don't play Eldrazi in my deck, but if you're playing Morophon Eldrazi, you get a free cast of an Eldrazi with that. Insane card. The other enchantment that's really, really good in this deck is Arcane Adaptation.
Which, by the way, both of these were out when we played, so that worked even better for
you. Yes, I did get my Xur the Enchanter, and I did grab both of these enchantments with my Xur.
And a Rhystic Study later.
And I grabbed
a Rhystic Study. We went through those three things, but continue.
So Arcane Adaptation says, as it enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Creatures you control are the chosen type in addition to their other types. The same is true for creature spells you control and creature cards you own that aren't on the battlefield. So this includes creatures in your library, in your graveyard, in exile, however relevant those areas are. And there is a 5-mana black enchantment called Conspiracy that does the exact same thing, but is not fetchable by Xur. So what Arcane Adaptation allows you to do is choose a creature type, the same creature type, hopefully, that Morophon is called out as when he enters the battlefield, and now all of your creatures are that type, and all of your creatures cost Wooburg less to cast, and in this particular deck, that pretty much means everything is free. Now, in our game, I was holding the first sliver in my hand.
The first sliver,
which gives all sliver spells cascade. So I went and fetched for my Arcane Adaptation with Xur, and I called out slivers, and I decided to cast my first sliver for free, and then cast... Oh, who was it that I cast after that?
You got Saskia the Unyielding.
Saskia.
So those five commanders, by the way, you've got Atrax the Praetor's Voice, Brea Aetherium,
yep.
Shaper, Yidris, Maelstrom Wanderer,
yep.
Saskia the Unyielding, and Kinesis and Tear of Miletus.
Miletus. So all of those cards are in the deck, which is pretty great.
Yep.
So in just to fill out some of the other cards... in there, I have a few additions. I decided to put in a Kamal's Druidic Vow in the deck.
That's one of those legendary spells, right?
Yep.
You can't cast it unless you have a legendary permanent. What does Correct. That one do?
So X, green. Look at the top X cards of your library. You may put any number of land and or legendary permanent cards with converted mana cost X or less from among them onto the battlefield and put the rest into your graveyard. So the deck does run mostly legendary creatures, as you might be able to tell.
Mm-hmm.
The non-legendaries being the four-color Nephilim that they printed in the Guild Pact.
Yeah, it was the original Ravnica City of Guilds block.
Yep.
OG.
And those cards are really good, especially when you can get them out for free. I do run a Brago or Brago in order to blink some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm adding a Captain Sisse to the deck to go search for some legendary stuff.
Sure.
Kenrith the Return King is just super value, really good mana
we did remove that one. No, you cannot use that. And there was also a Terracidon flipped to take out all your white mana.
Yep.
At one point, because we needed you to not have it anymore.
Yeah, that was that hurt.
Because you also had an enchantment on Morophon to blink it.
Yes, I had Flicker Form on Morophon, along with Kindred Summonings on Morophon.
The deck could not have... Literally, I don't think you could have played that.
Couldn't have played better that time.
It just ended up being 3-on-1 because we were going to lose if we didn't.
So that happened, and I decided that I had too many blink spells in the deck and I need to put a few better cards in than the blink spells. The Mimeoplasm and the new Volrath Shapeshifter mm-hmm. are in there just as some extra value in case things start getting wiped on my board. Which it is bound to happen.
How much land ramp do you play in there?
You
did cast a Cultivate. I saw that.
A Cultivate, a Farseek. I didn't have Hour of Promise in there. That's being added. A Kadama's Reach, a Rampant Growth, and a
Vegetation?
Tempt with Discovery.
Oh, sure. Tempt is the same. Is it cost 4?
It costs, 3 and a green.
It's the same amount as an Explosive Vegetation, but you could potentially get 4. I highly suggest playing Tempt.
Which, if you follow me on Twitter, you saw I played a Tempt with Discovery at my local game store, and I had everyone search, and I found my 3 Tron lands and a Temple of the False God.
All the mana.
9 whole manas.
Yeah.
And they come in untapped, which was awesome.
Yeah, so the deck, I think, played really well.
Yep.
Legendary everything, blinks.
It's definitely unique. I haven't seen anyone play it, and it's really fun to play. Highly recommend.
If you didn't see the deck list, you did tweet that out a couple of days ago. You were actually looking for one card to add to it. You finished that out, yep. So you can find that on Twitter. And then you're editing it right now. So yep. Once we do, we'll post the final deck list. If anyone's interested or has any questions,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
tweet at us.
It was, sorry, just to add in real quick. It was the TCG player has a 7% back because of all the bannings that happen.
Sure.
So that's how I'm getting a couple of these additions, some cards that my local game store did not have, like the card Conspiracy. It's pretty rare that a local game store might have that. So definitely support your local game stores, but if you can't, we got some bonus bucks on TCG player. So
are you ready to play some Would You Rather?
I am so ready to play some Would You Rather.
I'm so ready. Okay, so we each have two Would You Rathers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start with an easy one. Okay. So this is related to mechanics that aren't printed on a commander today.
Okay.
Okay. So, and this might not age well because next year with us getting like 70 some new commanders, I assume most mechanics, if not all, mean, some won't work. Like a cycling commander might not be so great unless there's a way to put it in your hand.
Okay.
That'd be kind of cool though.
Yeah.
But, would you rather see a legendary creature printed with level up or extort? I think they're both really good. I think they'd both be really good in Commander.
Yeah, they would be really good.
Both.
Extort
would be for sure like life gain somehow. It might, I assume, would be white black, but level up could be in any color.
Yeah, level up would probably, like, if I, okay, so if I had to pick one just from a I want to see it played wise, I'd pick level up all day.
Yeah.
But if I wanted to pick a commander I could absolutely just totally break, I would pick the Extort one.
I
think that's really strong.
I think Extort is busted. And yeah. I think Extort, just playing Cryptghast, even though it's just a one of,
mm-hmm.
sometimes can get you, you know, if you cast three spells with that all that extra black mana.
Oh yeah.
Like, and I'll just Extort each one. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
But level up, I think there's a level up card. I assume there's a level up card in every color. I mean, I know there's blue.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's black.
Mm-hmm.
Red. Because mm-hmm. there's like the dragon.
Mm-hmm. Green's got an elf. And the one that makes elephant tokens.
Yes. Is there white? Is there a level up in white?
Yes, but I can't think of it right now.
But
there totally is.
But I just think that if they printed a legendary creature, I'm gonna check it on Scryfall right now.
With level up.
I'm gonna search for level up and legendary, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. see if I can find.
Oh, with legendary?
Because
don't search legendary. Just white level
just,
up.
Just
yeah, we're thinking you suggested level up on a legendary. Because it doesn't exist yet.
Correct. It doesn't exist.
Right.
And I think it's level, I'm just gonna look for level.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if it's level hyphen up.
It's like if your commander wasn't your main target for someone else's spot removal before.
It would be on level up.
On level up, it definitely is. So I was thinking just in my head, just a second. Go ahead. You found it.
There is. Yeah, there's I see a white, blue, black. Yeah, there's at least one. And I don't see rare on all of them necessarily, but
right.
there is one in every color. Oh, Hex Drinker. There's
green.
A new mythic green, the yep. blue one. There's one that says you take a turn between every turn.
Oh yeah.
That's a Lighthouse Chronologist.
Oh, I like that card a lot.
Yeah,
I played that in Lazav.
Kargan Dragonlord is the mythic red one.
Mm-hmm.
Black has the vampire.
Yep.
Oh, and then
Gruul Draz Assassin.
And Gruul Draz Assassin. I think that is the one that I was thinking of.
Oh.
Is yeah,
a vampire?
It's a vampire assassin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I see white has Transcendent Master, which has level up of level 12 plus, but it becomes a 9/9 lifelink. For three, though. And level up for one.
It becomes a Sarah Ascendant.
It becomes a 9/9 lifelinker.
Isn't
with
Sarah,
indestructible.
Was Sarah Ascendant a 5/5?
Sarah Ascendant becomes a 6/6.
6/6 lifelink flying.
I think it's a 1/1. It gets +5/+5. It doesn't have flying.
I thought it gains flying as well.
Sarah
Because then like turns angelic. I thought, but I don't play white very often, so I could definitely be wrong.
Sarah Ascendant is... Oh, and it has flying. You're right. 30 yeah. or more life gets put. So it becomes a 6/6 flying lifelink.
Yeah.
Yeah. So level up. And I just thought extort would be... Extort is just extort, but level up could go anywhere. Because right. you could say when you get to this level, you have something crazy.
And I was thinking like, how does it, like if, okay, if your commander is going to be the main target with, and then it's also going to have level up, like would it be okay to say, you know, it retains its level up counters if it goes back to the command zone? But then I feel like you're just playing experience.
I agree. In that case, I think you're playing experience. So in this case though, maybe it could be when you level up, I don't know, once you get to like level 4 or something, it gets an ability that works with the deck, but also hexproof. And then when it gets to like level 10 plus, and maybe the level up is just like a generic mana or something. I don't know. Like you can start doing it definitely on the next turn. It does something that color wants. Like once this creature is at level 10, it also has flying and tap to draw 4 cards or something. Like if you're in blue. I think level up would be,
I think it would
really
be
fun to have on a commander.
I think it would be like if the top end of that level up was super, super strong, they'd have to be very careful, Wizards R&D, on what colors they allow that commander to be in. I would suggest staying away from both blue and white, some of the easier colors to make infinite mana with dramatic Scepter combo and with Bomberman combo, or the green-white with Vizier and the Druid.
So Dramatic Scepter is Isochron Scepter with Dramatic Reversal. You pay 2, and Dramatic Reversal says untap all non-land permanents you control. So as long as you have at least 3 mana in mana rocks, you net 1 colorless mana.
Yep.
Do you want to explain Bomberman real quick? The lingo for this, it's a more competitive term.
So Bomberman combo uses a really expensive card called LED, Lion's Eye Diamond, and Ariok Champion. Ariok Champion is 1 and a white, return an artifact from your graveyard to the battlefield. And Lion's Eye Diamond says, sacrifice Lion's Eye Diamond, discard your hand, add 3 mana of any color that you want to your mana pool. So you can make infinite white mana to do infinite activations, and then you can, with all your infinite white mana, make infinite
that
of
one's
any
a
color
really
mana.
Expensive one.
Yes.
Dramatic Reversal. Isochron Scepter is cheap. Very affordable.
Absolutely.
In comparison. I mean, Isochron Scepter is a $15 card, I think, alone. So that is the expensive part. But Dramatic Reversal, I think, costs like $1.
Yeah.
And then any rocks, any rock will do it.
Right. And as long as you have 3 mana, that's all you need.
All
right.
Yeah, that's my would you rather.
Yeah.
My first one.
My turn. Would you rather play without counter spells or play without removal?
I'd rather play without counter spells. For someone who likes counter spells as much as I do, you have to have removal in the format, in Commander. If I'm playing, I guess, does the format matter? Are we playing 1v1?
I think
playing multiplayer?
Does your answer differ?
Yeah, in 1v1, I don't care so much about removal because I can counterspell you and then I can just move on. In multiplayer, counterspell I don't think matters as much.
I gotcha.
Unless you have a way to draw more cards, you're good luck staying up when you're 1-for-1-ing yourself.
Yeah. I mean, the only deck that I play counterspells in is my top tier deck. And
you plan to win the turn you're going on.
But I also run removal in it, though, too. But I play a lot more counter spells. But overall, I play a lot more removal. You probably want removal.
Yeah, I definitely
in it
want
more.
I definitely want removal.
So spot that. Removal or mass removal, if you only had to pick one?
I would do spot.
So no wraths for you. Is that because you don't want to kill your own creatures as well?
Most of the time, sure. Okay. Most of the time, I would say yeah. But there's usually one creature out on the battlefield that's causing a problem for me in most cases. And it's only ever like one. It's never both of these people have the same, are causing me a problem. It's like, no, it's always just one and just sitting there.
I do feel like our budget commander games, that's the opposite. I feel like there's more than one in a lot of times in those ones. But that's the one instance I can think of where it's there's an Eryxmithes and there's a... Oh, what's that blue dragon that Nick played?
Nezahal?
Nezahal. There's an Eryximethes. The
elder dinosaur.
Yeah, there's an Eryximethes and a Nezahal. And I can't take care of both of them.
One's going to make infinite mana. One's going to swing at me and get to 21. And one is infinitely harder to remove, so I'm probably going to go for the Eryximethes.
And
I did, right?
Nick did. Yeah,
he
Nick,
did.
Nick took me out pretty good on that okay. one. Yeah.
Okay, so here's another one.
Okay.
So, So you're at a local game shop.
Okay. Right,
and you're just playing.
All right, hold on.
Well,
hold
you
on.
Get
I'm
there.
Get in the moment.
Get in the moment. You open the door.
I'm there.
You walked in.
I smell cardboard.
You smell. That's a good smell.
Yeah.
Someone just opened a pack of cards. So you sit down to play,
mm-hmm.
and you don't. You realize you have like your deck with you, but you don't really have anything else with you. And you're like, oh, shoot. I didn't bring my playmat. I didn't bring my dice. I didn't bring.
Mm-hmm,
Would you rather play a deck that requires like 100 different tokens and you don't have any of them? Or play a deck that needs like 500 dice to be put on them, but you have to ask everybody else for the dice? And you feel bad either way, but it's obnoxious. Which case would you rather be stuck in? Needing the tokens or needing everyone else's dice? And when I say dice, I mean everything you play is putting counters on something. You got minus counters, you got plus counters, so you need multiple colors of dice.
So I'm gonna go with the dice one, and maybe this is a cop-out answer, but I also feel like with the tokens I will also need to borrow everybody's dice, so maybe this is a more willing way to get people. And you know, it's a mini game for the rest of the pod too, where it goes, all right, we need red ones and green ones and blue ones, like let's all combine our dice into a big pool and see what happens. But I would also feel extremely embarrassed about that.
I've had it before where I brought a deck. I have a Noyandar deck. I've said that before, and it requires me to put counters on creatures, and I didn't bring my dice. It was before I got like one of those towers that have the dice built in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm not going to play this today. I'm going to play the deck where I have everything that I need, because I don't want to, you know, there's some people that only have enough dice for them, or they don't have a ton and they're playing it, or it's just, you know, I've had it before where someone grabs all their dice up and you're like, oh, you have a few of mine. And you know, sometimes you lose your dice and you don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm always for sharing, but I think I agree that I would probably play the dice. I'd rather need to borrow dice, because I think people would have those more than they would have the tokens that I need.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in Commander, you never, if you actually have all your tokens for the deck you play,
good for you. Yeah, I am impressed by you.
I mean, I want to give you a gold star.
Yeah, you get a hug and a gold star.
But I feel like we started buying the dry erase tokens.
Those are, I really,
for
like that
exact
that.
Reason. Although I like having my own tokens.
Yeah.
But you know, in my Omnath Locus
Your
of
nice
Rage deck.
Sleeved Omnath tokens.
They are sleeved. But I need sometimes like 30 of them out. And it's like, well, no one's carrying around 30 Omnath tokens. I mean, someone is. But I'm carrying, I think, 10. And I always need more than 10.
Yep.
So at that point, just bring like 3 of them, and then just use.
You have tapped. You have tapped ones. You have untapped ones that are summoning sick, and untapped ones that are not summoning sick.
Correct.
And then someone starts putting -1/-1 counters on your tokens, and then you just stare at them. Like, really?
That
are
you does
doing
get
this right now.
That does happen though, and then you have to have them with the minus counters, and you need them with the, you know, the -1/-0 counter. I've never seen anyone actually play that. There are some weird counters.
I played an armor thrall in Shire once. That gives things +0/+2 counters. All right. Here's mine for you. Would you rather? So you're playing a Wooburg deck.
Okay, I've got every color: white, blue, black, red, green.
That's right. Would you rather play with only basics and fetches? You can have any fetch, all the fetches that you want, and basics, or no fetches, and then you can play any multicolor lands that you want.
Basics for sure.
Basics and fetches.
Basics and the fetches, sure. Because I do not like.
So no command tower for you then.
That's probably still fine. So I've got Terramorphic Expanse. Yep. I've got Evolving Wilds. I've got Fabled Passage. The ten fetches.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other? I've got. Okay, so I can't have any I'm going to argue, though, that I get the green land that also has Sackett, and I get to go fetch two basic lands.
Yeah, so Blighted Woodland.
Yes.
And you
can I have that?
You can have Myriad Landscape.
I can have Myriad Landscape. Yeah, I'm going to go with that. I think I can make it because I'll play cards like Cultivate. I'll go way heavier on green. Mm-hmm. I usually do. Way heavier. Sure. In my five-color decks, you play more green than you don't
mm-hmm.
because you're going to play green ramp spells. And I'm just going to hope to grab...
Green as your first.
Green. Basics. Well, hopefully you open with one green.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to have two, right? So you're going to have, like, green and, I don't know, the worst one would probably be to have, like, for
well, you're playing Wooburg, so you might have white, blue, red, black.
White, blue.
White, blue. White, blue. Red, black. No green in starting hand. Oh.
Yeah, but I would keep that. I would keep that because I probably have something that I can play that's not a ramp card, you know? But sometimes you do. You just, if you want to play a five-color deck and you're on a budget, that's something that a lot of people deal with.
Yep.
And I don't think it's that big of a deal if you're not playing with people who are playing with 10 shocks, 10 fetches.
Sure.
I think if your play group is more casual, which we have been recently playing a lot more casual.
It's been a lot.
That's totally
fine.
It's been
a lot of fun playing casual.
That's
too.
Totally fine. What would you do?
I would definitely play multicolor lands, no fetches.
You would?
Oh, yeah. I really like my multi-lands, and I feel like, okay, so I have this frame of reference with Morrowfon. Morrowfon, I play like three or four multicolor lands, and I play a lot of basics. I play 20 basics. I play four of each color. And that's because if I get stuck without any of my combo pieces, I have to be able to cast all of my creatures, and they are four or five color. So I need to actually keep it nice and spread. I should be shifting a little bit more towards green, and I might end up doing that in the next. But that's where my multicolor lands come in. Like, I have a Sultai land.
You have the tap, the tri-land.
The tri-land.
The tapped tri-lands.
I have a couple tri-lands, a command tower and stuff. And the Evolving Wilds doesn't do it for me. The Terramorphic Expanse doesn't do it for me. I don't play any of the expensive fetches, any of the cons fetches
sure.
or anything in there.
But you're not playing the basic ones? Even to grab a basic?
I mean, I can grab a basic, but a lot of times it's like, it depends what I draw, what card, what land I go search for right now.
I also get the one from Modern Horizons. Which one is that?
You get Prismatic Vista.
I don't own one in real life, but I get it in that.
You get one.
I think I would do that. I mean, there's a lot of fetches.
There is.
To get to five basics is fine. And I also don't. I mean, have you, I ask you, this is, have you played against Back to Basics or Blood Moon before? It feels bad.
I have played against Back to Basics once, but I think I was playing a monocolor deck
at the
time.
You're good. Then you're good to go.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever played against it in one of my stronger decks that I play shocks in or anything.
Sure.
So
I played Noyandar against that before, and every one of my creatures did not untap, and they were also the mana I needed.
Yeah.
So that, I think that's why, yeah, that I'm glad we were different on that.
Yeah.
I honestly, if someone said, nope, you have to play the multicolor, it's like, mm-hmm. okay. I mean, I'm fine either way.
Yeah.
I do have
one more
okay.
for you. This one's kind of just for fun. Would you rather discard a card, sacrifice a non-land permanent, or take 3 damage? Repeat this process 10 times.
I am going to, assuming that I played mono blue, I'm going to discard 10 cards and then kill you on my next turn. How many permanents do I have on the battlefield? Do I have like 30 bugs I can sack from the Locust God? Or
you actually have just Damnation, so you have zero permanents on the battlefield.
Mm.
Or you can choose to sacrifice your Purphoros that you have. That's the one. You have one permanent on battlefield, Purphoros, and you have 9 cards in hand.
Just to end the game, I die. I'm going to take 3 damage all 10 times, and I hope I had like 29 life.
You have 31 life.
I will sack some to Goblin Bombardment, and I will shoot myself. I think that does it for this week.
Yeah, that's all.
So if you haven't seen, we did a teaser for our vlog post for Command Fest Chicago. That will be out this Thursday. We posted that on Monday. Thank you all for listening. If you want to contact us, you can find our podcast on Twitter at Guardian Pod. You can find me at AT Flory.
You can find me at Squeaky Pig.
Also take a look for hashtag Guardian Project Pod to find our posts and episodes. We'd like to hear from you, so send along your comments and any topics you'd like us to talk about, and we'll go over those on the next episode. You can also email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com.
Yeah, specifically if you want to do if you want to send us a suggestion for the Commander of the Week, that'll be something that we're going to try to as a reoccurring segment every single week. So if you want someone broken down, send that to us.
And that's it.
Thanks.
See ya.
Bye. So Pioneer came out. No changes.
You can just say that out here. That's the very end.
Yeah. This is a Pioneer.
Did it literally just come out two seconds ago?
It came out.
This is live, y'all.
1 hour ago, according to this post on Reddit, November 18th, 2019, Pioneer band announcement. Pioneer, no changes. You can keep using your Okos.
And your Once Upon a Time.
And your Once Upon a Times.
Good luck.
Good luck to you, sirs and madams.
And everyone else that doesn't go by sir or madams. Goodbye.
Goodbye.